Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I want to continue just our series on Mind the Gap, based on when the train is pulling into the station, especially down in London. You hear these words, mind the gap, which helps us to understand that there can be a little bit of distance between where you are and where you're going, and it can be dangerous, so you need to mind the gap. And we've been looking into that a little bit over these last few weeks. So I want to talk on the subject this morning of the generosity gap. Now, I know some of you immediately think Neil's away to talk about money, and we may mention that at the end, but actually that's not where I'm going to go. And I want to wrap this around a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18. This is a well-known story, and I think it will really help us to get a picture and challenge us to ask ourselves the question, is there an area of gap when it comes to our generosity? Matthew 18, reading from verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now Jesus begins to tell a parable, a story to drive this message home. And Jesus tells Peter this story. Therefore, the king of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he have be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Think about this. This servant actually owed such a great amount that it was actually impossible for him ever to repay it. So he comes to the master and he says, please, would you have mercy on me? And the master does something incredible. He doesn't put in place a debt reduction. He doesn't come up with a payment plan. He did not get the guy to call Dave Ramsey and get some solutions. He canceled the debt. Question, how would you feel if you were that servant? You would have got up that next day, I tell you, talk about walking and leaping and praising God. Think about it. I come to you this morning and says, that mortgage you're paying, forget about it. The car payment, it's gone. The holiday that you've got on the credit card has been taken care of. Anyone in this room that would just get you a little bit excited? Anyone that just sort of, wow, I think I could take that. Think about this. You're not going to be sold into slavery. Your wife's not going to be sold into slavery. You get to keep the kids. I said, you get to keep the kids. Wow. All right, you keep the wife, but the kids go. Don't you think there would be something in your heart and in your spirit that would just be so grateful? Isn't there something in you that would go, wow, I owed such a volume, my debt was so high, I could never repay it. And yet now I have been totally forgiven. I tell you, every day you get up, you're ahead of the curve. Think about what I'm saying. Every moment you live from that day on, you're ahead of the game because now there is no longer this mountain of debt that is chasing you. And of course, we know that the reason that Jesus told this story, he's referring to this issue of sin, isn't he? He's referring to the fact that we were sinners. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But thanks be to God, our Heavenly Father, he forgave us of a debt that we could never repay. Now, wouldn't you think that that servant would then go out and be the most gracious, kind, loving, considerate individual that there had ever been on planet Earth? Well, let's read on. Watch the gap. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. I think that's serious. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Now there are people looking on. There were other servants that were watching. They're thinking, wait a minute, this servant has short-term memory. He has just been forgiven by his master of a debt that he could never pay. Now he's gone out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him a volume of money that could be repaid. He grabs him by the throat. The servant begs for mercy. He throws him in prison. And those that are looking on think, wait a minute, this doesn't line up. There's a gap. There's something wrong here. He has been forgiven, so surely he's going to forgive. He has been forgiven of a debt that he can never repay, and now he's holding a guy prisoner who could repay that debt. So they go and they tell the master. Follow with me. Then the master called the servant, and you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had? There's the gap. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. Now listen to what Jesus says. What a challenging words. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Notice it doesn't say forgive them from the mouth. Is it getting quiet in here? He didn't say if you just forgive them from the mouth, because sometimes that's easy. He says we've got to forgive them from the heart. In other words, you received mercy, you should be able to dispense grace. Then one of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, there's a great godly principle. I've always tried to live my life not by feelings, but by godly principles. Feelings come, feelings change. I can be up, I can be down. I can be affected by what is happening around me. That's my feelings. But I have chosen to live my life by godly principles. But I know, and I'm honest enough to admit, that there are times that there is a gap between where I am and where I'm going. There can be a gap between what I believe and how I behave. I know God's word, Christina. I read God's word. I know how I should act, but sometimes there's a wee gap in there between the goal and the reality. I loved when we had the Father's Day service. Remember when we had the video, when the kids got up and they were asked to describe their father by one word? And wasn't it fascinating, some of the words that the children were using? And that's really challenged me, because I began to think, now, please don't think I'm being morbid. Don't think that, well, is Neil about to depart this earth? I haven't had any news yet, and I hope it's a long way off. But I asked myself this question. I wonder what word I would want people to describe or use for Neil Cameron when he leaves this earth. I wonder what I want people to say about me. And as I've thought about it, I've sort of landed on something I've been working towards all my life. I want people to say, you see that Neil Cameron? He was generous. I want that to be my word at my funeral, Phyllis. I want the word to be, I want you to open up the will and go, that Neil Cameron was generous. But I know, I've discovered something, that if that is the harvest I am looking for, then I've got to plant the seeds today. You know that a farmer doesn't go down and decide that he wants a harvest and just grab a handful of seeds and throw it out and then ask, I wonder what that was that I just planted. No, a farmer is intentional in the harvest that he's looking for. Therefore, because of the harvest, he decides on the seed. So I've sort of landed on this whole thing that I want people to say that Neil Cameron is generous. Therefore, I've got to be intentional, because I'm aware that sometimes there can be a gap. So I better start getting my behavior and my belief to line up so that people are not going. Now, can I ask you a question? Now, I don't want you to put your hand up here, but how many of you have actually ever been at a funeral and the minister or whoever is up there and they're telling you about the individual and you wonder if you're actually in the wrong place? Because we always say nice things at funerals, don't we? But I know I've been there and I've been thinking, huh? And you smile, don't you? And you nod your head and you're thinking, well, that's not the individual. But I want, are you with me, church? I want, when it's my time, I want people to say, that guy certainly was generous. If greatness is not what I achieve, but what I help others achieve, then I know that today I still got time to correct gap behavior, that gap that I find in my life. I need to develop an auto cue. Have you ever been texting someone and you type a word and auto cue puts it to something else and then you try to fix it and it puts it to something else? But I want that internal auto cue of the Spirit of God that arrests me in these areas that there is a gap. Now, you may say, well, people will think, Neil, that I'm weak or I'm soft or I'm a pushover. No, I think we come to this place of maturity when we put our trust in God, not in people. Because God's words tell us, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. What we sow, we will also reap. Principles always work. People don't always work. People will let you down. Principles will work every single time. So the great question is, what am I doing with what God has given me? In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." So if serving is our attitude, then giving must be our action. If Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life, that if my attitude is serving, then my action should be giving. Now, here are some areas that I want God to help me be generous in. So this morning, I'm preaching to myself. Is that okay? So that's great because I can amen myself. I can sort of go, that's good preaching, Neil. Amen. Say that again. I think I will. So these are areas that I feel God is challenging me to be generous in. Maybe there are some areas that God is challenging you. And the first one is taken from our scripture. I believe that God is calling me to be more generous when it comes to areas of forgiveness. When Peter came to Jesus and asked that question, he actually thought that Jesus was going to be immensely impressed with his comment. According to Jewish law, if you were to forgive up to 3 times, that was being magnanimous. So Peter comes to Jesus and he says, if I forgive 7 times, and I'm sure Peter sort of looked at the other disciples, gave them a wee wink, and says, okay, I've got it this time, boys. And what Jesus says amazed Peter because he said, no, how about 7 times 70? In other words, it's not about counting the amount of times you forgive. Our forgiveness has to be limitless because the forgiveness that we receive from God is limitless. How would you feel this morning if God the Father in heaven, there was a scribe in heaven that was counting the amount of times that we needed to receive forgiveness? Don't know about you, but I would keep them pretty busy. I would have them on their toes. But I realize that because I have been forgiven, then if I really want to be a godly person, if I want to be generous, then I have got to develop the habit of forgiveness. It's not about my feelings. Listen, I'm not always going to feel like forgiving the actions of others. What about you? I would love to say this super spiritual, halo, saint, love everybody, so easy, walking, talking, rejoicing, that when offense comes my way, it's so easy to turn the other cheek. I don't always feel like that. What about you? In fact, if you get me on a wrong day, at a wrong season, you want to pass me by because sometimes I can let offense get into my heart. But Jesus is saying, if you really want to walk according to my ways, then we've got to develop this ability to forgive other people and forgive our offense. If I want the principle to apply to me, then I have to apply the principle to others. Because what I sow, that's what I'm going to reap. So if I want to reap forgiveness, guess what? I've got to sow forgiveness. If I want God to go, you know, if I want to go to, when I'm praying and say, God, you're not going to believe it. Father God, here I am again. And he's going, is that you, Neil? It's me. Daniel read it. I have redeemed you. I know you by name. You sometimes wish you could pray prayers incognito. You know, here I am, God. It's you again, Neil. Sorry, God. If I want God the Father through Jesus Christ to forgive me, come on, church. I said, come on, church. Then I have got to develop this generosity when it comes to area of forgiveness. Listen, we don't have to see eye to eye in order to walk hand in hand. We sometimes think that we've got to all be on the same page, everybody rejoicing, everyone getting it, no issues. No, there are times that we may have differences, and that's okay. But once again, we don't all have to see eye to eye in order to walk hand in hand. And we've got to ask ourselves, is there a gap? Another area that I feel God challenging me is this area of words. Words have power. Have you ever noticed that words can hurt or they can heal? Something beautiful happened just downstairs at the, when we were at coffee. As I was just speaking to the folks down there, David Haggath Sr. said, Neil, I want a wee word with you. So I says, yes, David. He says, you know, I was just praying and I just felt that God wanted to say to you this morning that he loves you and he's pleased with you. Do you know what that meant to me? I knew what I was preaching on. But just those simple words of encouragement, I tell you what, it put wind in my sails. I was walking about with my coffee. Number one, I'm like, thank the Lord that I'm on the page for preaching this morning. Thank the Lord that David was hearing from heaven. It may seem a very simple thing, but that meant the world to me, David, because words can lift you up and words can put you down. That's why we need to be generous when it comes to areas of affirmation and encouragement. Kath said it this morning in the prayer meeting. Sometimes what leaves my lips and reaches your ears is something totally different. There can be a gap. Sometimes our text messages, come on, our emails, our social media, sometimes what we say and what we write, are they bringing encouragement or discouragement? How many of you have heard this expression? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what a heap of rubbish. I'll tell you who said that. The one that was throwing the sticks and the stones. Because I know and you know words can be bring encouragement, but I tell you what, if they get into your spirit, they can work against you like nothing I've known. And there are many reasons that perhaps people throw stones. I was in my reading this week. I was reading of a guy called Shimei. Have you ever heard of Shimei? Now, Shimei, you find him in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And let me give you a wee bit of background. Shimei was of the family of Saul. Saul is now dead. David is king. David's son Absalom has rebelled against you, and David is having to get out or leave the city. As he's leaving the city to get away from his son Absalom, there's this guy Shimei. I read about it. And as David and his men and his bodyguard are leaving, Shimei is walking alongside, throwing stones and kicking up dust. He's shouting words of discouragement. Ah, David, this is what you deserve. This is what you get. This is what happened. Now, Shimei, out of his resentment of heart, out of things that have happened in the past, out of discouraging moments in his life, out of what he perceived as being injustice, being passed over, resentment has got into his heart. That resentment had been there the whole time. But when he got his opportunity, that resentment came out. Come on, church. So the moment that he knew David was on his way out, Shimei starts to throw stones and kick up dust. 2 Samuel 16, he threw stones at David, at his soldiers, and at everyone else, including the bodyguards who walked on each side of David. Now, have you ever noticed in life, David is running from his son Absalom? It's a terrible time in the life of David. It's almost like things couldn't get any worse. And here, at a desperate low moment, Shimei is throwing stones and kicking up dust. Have you ever discovered in life that sometimes when you hit a low or things are going against you, that sometimes people are insensitive to your situation and start to throw stones or start to throw words or start to pull you down? And sometimes it can be the last straw that literally breaks the camel's back. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes there can be a challenge in the people being insensitive to your situation because they feel that they have a right to tell you and they're going to tell you straight. Can I say this? Sometimes we haven't got a right to tell people straight. Generosity in words is sometimes being careful with what we say. People don't need our criticism, they need our encouragement. Have you noticed that when you kick up dust, that your shoes get messy as well? Have you ever noticed that when you're kicking dust at others, dust always lands on you? Is there a gap? What about this gap of grace and mercy? I've discovered in life that Christians can be a bad group of people to get into trouble with. Now, let me just do a wee bit of survey in the room this morning. How many of you been saved for longer than one day? That was helpful. Put your hand down. How many of you have had a situation where you have needed the grace and mercy of God in your life since you became a Christian? Hands down. This is just helpful for everyone in the room in case there are some martyrs that think it's only them. How many of you have sometimes found that Christians can be a tough group to get into trouble with? I'm just checking who hasn't put their hand up yet. It's okay, just give us 5 minutes. You know, we have been forgiven, but sometimes we can be the hardest people on others that make mistakes. You know, the Bible talks about don't cast away your confidence. You know, sometimes people make mistakes in life and they need grace and mercy because we've been shown grace and mercy. We need to be generous. I've discovered, I know Neil Cameron. I know I'm going to get myself into trouble. That's not a prophecy, but I know what I'm like, and I'll end up getting into trouble somewhere along the line. So I want to be generous in grace and mercy before I need grace and mercy. I want the cup to run over. I want to make sure I make lots and lots and lots of deposits so I can make a withdrawal. I want to be gracious and gracious and gracious and gracious so that when my time comes, people are going, well, fair enough. He was gracious with us. I guess we better be gracious with him. Sometimes when people fall, they lose their confidence. Phyllis's brother, Ian, five years ago, Ian was coming out of his house at that time in Aberdeen. He was packing the house because he was heading back to Northern Ireland. As he came out of his house, he fell over the threshold. We didn't realize this, but literally had busted both his knees. I mean, full-scale, massive surgery that was required. He'd done so much damage, we didn't know at the time. Now, my brother-in-law will tell you, he has a very low threshold to pain. So when we arrived, he's lying there in the garden. His shirts that he was carrying out are strewn all over the garden. And he's looking up and he's going, help, help. Now, I would love to say that this saintly pastor looked down on his dear brother-in-law and went, here I am. Let me show you the generosity gap in my life. I turned to Phyllis out of the corner of my lip and I went, help, help, help. We didn't realize how injured he was. We thought that because he couldn't handle pain, we thought, here we go again. Here he goes. So eventually, Phyllis got him into the car and drove him across to Northern Ireland. He gets into the house. He goes to have a shower the next day. As he's going to have the shower, he literally collapses. And they discover that both his knees, what was the term used? Both his kneecaps had literally shot right up his legs because of the pain. Help! The kid needed help. But listen, that was 5 years ago. He's been working hard to get recovery. He got the operation. He had to walk with a stick. And he's been trying real hard over this period of time to get strength into his legs. And he's doing great, all right? But he still walks with a stick. And we've said to him, why don't you put that stick away? You don't need that anymore. We've observed him. We've seen him in the house. Why do you walk with a stick? I'll tell you why he still walks with a stick. Because his confidence is gone. His confidence is absolutely gone. And even though we're going, come on, you're going to be fine, and he does have the strength in his limbs, his confidence is still not at the same place of the recovery of his legs. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning, church? And sometimes people can make mistakes, and their confidence can be gone or shot. And let's be careful. Let's be people of grace and mercy. The Bible says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I want to be generous. I don't want there to be a gap. I want to sow goodness and mercy because I want goodness and mercy to follow me. I want to be generous with my time. The Bible says that Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Is there a gap when it comes to your generosity? I want to be generous with my time. You know, one of the things I love to spend time with the children at Apex Church. I love to be around them. I want to find out what's happening in their world. I have been working hard. I've been generous with my times to little children that can't give you anything back. Why? Because I want them to know that Pastor Neil is on their side. I want them to know that Pastor Neil is for them, not against them. I want them that when some of you parents are trying to use Pastor Neil as the big bad wolf, if you don't behave yourself, we'll get Pastor Neil. I want your kids to go, what? Listen, he may be disappointed with us, but we know he's for us. I want to make sure that these little kids that are facing enough hassle in school and elsewhere realize that if Jesus could take time to consider the little children, don't you think we should take time to consider the little children? I want them to go, he doesn't scare us. Pastor Neil, he's cool. I want kids, come on, at Apex Church, and I tell you, you see it? I want them to be so relaxed in the presence of God and comfortable around men and women of God, so there is a natural progression. Folks, that won't happen by chance. We have got to be intentional. What sort of seeds are you sowing this morning when it comes to area generosity? What about finance? We haven't time to get into it. Be generous with your finance. Hey, the Bible talks about the tithe, which is the tenth. The Bible talks about our offerings that we get to bring as well. Doesn't that excite you? You know what? I don't give my tithe. I get to bring my tithe. It already belongs to God. Here's where my generosity starts, in my offerings, in what I do for missions, in what I do out with. People have said to me, the amount of time that pastors and others have walked into this hall and they've looked around with amazement and they've said, wow, we can't believe what you guys have here. Let me tell you, this started years and years and years ago when we started investing and sowing seed into other people's buildings, because when we began to sow into others' buildings, guess what? God gave us a building. And that's why over these last few months, I promise you, as a local church, we have invested heavily into other buildings to bless people. We have a building. That's great. But I tell you what, out of the abundance of the harvest, we are going to keep sowing seed because we want to see buildings for the glory of God, because we're not going to be a cheap church. We're going to be a generous church. My father, Simon Cameron, he was called BHS, Big Hearted Simon. My mom used to have to check how much money he had in his wallet when he would go to church, because if there was a mystery, he would give everything away. He loved God so much, he wanted to be a blessing to others. How can you be a blessing to others? By being generous. It starts with where you are. You can't give what you don't have, but God can challenge you with what you do have. I want people to say Neil Cameron is generous. He's generous with his words. He's generous when it comes to grace and mercy. In fact, one of the best things that someone said to me, this is a couple of years ago, this is, do you know what your problem is, Neil? I says, well, I could tell you a few. They says, do you know what your problem is? You're just too gracious. I'll take that any day of the week. You're too gracious. How can you be too gracious? I'll tell you, when you've been given much, you forgive much. When you know that heaven has smiled on you, you can smile on others. Now, come on, as we bow our heads, what's the area that God is challenging you in? Where is your generosity gap? What has God spoken into your heart this morning that you would say, hey, I maybe need to be a little bit more generous when it comes to my words. I maybe need to be a bit more generous when it comes to my time. I need to maybe be in areas of grace and mercy. I maybe need to just be a little bit more gracious because God has been gracious to me. Is there a generosity gap? Is there an area in your life that you're saying, wait a minute, heaven smiled on me, but I'm not smiling on others. I've been given much from God, and yet I'm not being a good steward with what God has entitled or given to me, I should say, not entitled, what God has given to me. I need to be a better steward. Well, if you want a good harvest, what about the seed? What's your seed? What are people going to say about you? When your time comes, my friend, and it will, and it will, and it will. People have never spoken about the amount people have had in their bank account. They've never spoken about the houses or the cars. They've never reflected on people's ability to make or accumulate wealth. But I tell you, we always speak about individuals' character. So let there be a challenge this morning. I have so enjoyed preaching to say to hearts, is there a generosity gap in your heart, in your life? Is God speaking to you? Now, maybe you're in this room and you don't know Jesus. You haven't got a relationship with Jesus. Well, that's the biggest gap there could be. Here's the good news. God the Father loved you so much that he sent his Son to bridge the gap. You could not bridge it yourself. That is what Jesus was saying in this parable. The issue of sin, you could never repay. But God the Father, the Master, did not just reduce what the price that you owed or the debt of sin. He completely forgave you of your sin. Isn't that marvelous? And Jesus, God the Father, is saying this morning. He loves you so much, he sent his Son to forgive you of your sin. Now, will you accept the gift of God's forgiveness? You're here and you do not know Jesus. You do not have a relationship with Jesus. Perhaps you're not walking with Jesus. But today, this day, this 30th of June, you can respond to the love of God by asking Christ to come into your heart. Is there anyone who would say, Neil, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to know what it is to be forgiven of sins. I want to know what it is to be able to stand before God and to be able to declare, I'm forgiven. If that's you, we'd love to pray with you. And we will show scriptures after the service. But if that's you, would you lift your hand? That's just helping me acknowledge people in the room that are responding to Jesus. Ask him one more time. You're in this room. You need forgiveness of sin through that which has already been done for us in Jesus. Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word this morning. And Lord, we believe that every one of us in this room, we know that there is margin to improve. So Father, would you speak to hearts? As we have received much, may we give much. As we have received forgiveness, may we be people of forgiveness. As we have received grace and mercy, may we be people who are gracious and mercy. Lord, may we be kind with our words and not throw stones or kick dust. Help us, God. Father, I'm the first to admit There's a gap between what I believe and at times how I behave. So Holy Spirit of the living God, would you help me right now? I'd love to include you in prayer if you're saying, Neil, that's me. It may be something I've mentioned. It may be something totally different. But you're saying, Neil, there's a gap when it comes to areas of generosity. And I just want God to help me. Neil, include me in prayer. If that's you, come on, lift your hand. Anyone in this place, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Come on, anyone else. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Father, you see these hands that have been raised in recognition of areas or gaps between belief and behavior. Now, Spirit of the living God, would you help us to become the people that you've called us to be? Empower us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.